The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's shiur is again going to be on Parashas Bereishis, the sixth of the series. And in Yetz Hashem, we're going to finish the series this evening. Last week's shiur was after the man and the woman, Adam and Chava, each of each other ate from the tree. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then gave them all their punishments, the serpent and the ish on the ish. Then it states, and this is by Revi, Bereishis Gimel Pasuk Chav Beis. Vayimar Hashem Elokim, and Hashem said, Heino Odom Ha'ekeached Mimena Ladas Tevara, Ve'atol Pen Yishlach Yodeh Ve'lekach Gam Me'etz HaChayim Ve'ochal Ve'chay Le'olam. Heino Odom, it means, that's an expression. See this man, he's like one of us. He knows the difference between good and evil. And now, lest he will also take from the Eitz HaChaim, from the tree of life, and he'll eat and live forever. So therefore, they sent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent, man and woman, out of Gan Eden, Lavis Adoma Shelukach Mishon, to work the earth which they were taken from. Man was chased out, and they dwelled to the east of Gan Eden. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent angels with swords to guard, swords of fire, to guard the entrance to the Eitz HaChaim, to Gan Eden and the Tree of Life. The Gemara brings that in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Ches, Reish Amud Beis, when did this all take place? Omer Bi'echen Bar Chanina, Shtaim Esrei Shos Hoyu Hayom. The day is 12 hours. It means a perfect day. The sun rises at 6 in the morning and was set at 6 in the evening. This is at when the sun and the earth are in perfect proportion. Now, man was created on the sixth day. So it states, Shtaim Esrei Shos, Hevi Ayom. The day has 12 hours. Shori Shena, on the first day, first hour of Friday, Hutz Bar Aforei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathered together the dust of the earth. Shniya Nase Golem. In the second hour, he formed man into a mass. Shlishis nimtachu evorov. And the third hour, he formed all of his evorim, all of the different parts of his body. Revis nizraku bei neshama. In the fourth hour, he put a soul into him. Vayipach ba'apov. Chamishis omar al raglov. In the fifth hour, man stood up on his feet. Shishis Korah Shemais. The sixth hour is when Hashem called all of the animals to him and he gave them all names. Shvis Nizdab Dulai Chava. The seventh hour, that's when he created Chava for him. Shminis Ola Lemito Shnaim V'yodu Arba. In the eighth hour, they went up to the bed as two and they came down as four. In other words, immediately Cain and Hevel were born. Tshis, in the ninth hour, Nitztavish Leilechol Mino Ilon. They were commanded not to eat from the tree. Asiris Sorach. In the tenth hour, 1 hour later, they sinned. They ate from the tree. Achasas Esrei, in the 11th hour, Nidain. they were judged. Shtaimesrei, the 12th hour, nitrad v'holachle. They were chased out of the garden. Shenemar odam bikar bal yolin. Nimshal kebehemus nidmu. This is the posuk in Tehillim Mem Tes. That odam bikar yokor. Odom, who was created as a such a outstanding, excellent, wonderful creation, bal yolin, he shall not dwell, he shall not lodge in my home. He was chased out before he had time to spend the night there. During the 12 hours from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m., he was created. They gave birth. Chava was created. They multiplied. They were commanded with one mitzvah. They transgressed that mitzvah. They were judged, and they were chased out of the garden. Odom bika bal yolin, omer rami bachamo. Well, then he says, in nimshal kebehemus nidmu, they had sunk already to the levels of the, no longer of the odom hasholem, but already like animals. In other words, what it means is that the majesty and the sovereignty that they had over the animals was now lost. We'll see about this a little more later. So this is what happened. Man does not have a history to be proud of. And this is what the Medrash tells us now. Medrash Rabbah. That's in this posuk, Chof Aleph Tes. Heino Odom. Mentioned Heino Odom is an expression. Ha Odom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you are man. Is this a man? L'yechalta lamed b'tzivecho afilu shoachas. You couldn't keep my one commandment even for 1 hour. That's the word hein. Hein Odom. Are you a man? You could not keep my commandment even for 1 hour. Doresh Rabbi Yehuda ben Pedia. Mi yegale ofer meinecho odom arishain shleicholte lamed b'tzivecho afilu shoachas. Who will be able to remove the earth, the dust from your eyes? This is after you're buried, and either rebuke you or give you a schus that you weren't even able to keep my commandment for even 1 hour. From you will come, though, generations of Yisrael, and they will be able to give you a schus, or they will be able to rebuke you. Sharei mamtinin leor lagimul shonim, shenem ashlei shonim yilechem areilim yeochel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Klal Yisrael that when you plant your trees in Eretz Yisrael, the first 3 years you must take the fruit and burn it. You can't eat it. So 1 year goes by and they see the beautiful fruit and they don't eat it. 2 years goes by and they see the beautiful fruit and they still do not eat it. 3 years go by and they see the beautiful fruit and they still do not eat it. They only eat it in the 4th year. And you were commanded not to eat from this fruit, and in 1 hour you ate from it. So therefore, mi yegalo ofer me'enecho odom arishon shelo yecholta lamed b'tzivecho afilu shoachas. Who will be able to remove the earth from your eyes, where either to rebuke you or to give you a schus, that after I gave you one mitzvah and you did not keep that mitzvah for 1 hour. So this is what it means, Hain, and also from the Gemara in Sanhedrin we see exactly what happened on each hour in all of those 12 hours. Then it states in Perek Dalet, Posuk Aleph, V'adam yoda es Chava ishtoi. And man knew his wife Chava, Batahar, and she became pregnant, Batelet es Kain, and she gave birth to Kain. Vatema Kanisi ish es Hashem, and she said that I have acquired a man es Hashem with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when Chava gave birth to Kain, it would seem from this posuk, this was after they were chased out of the Garden of Eden, because this posuk comes afterwards. But from what we just quoted in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that they gave birth to Kain and Hevel already on the first day. They were created, they went up to the bed as two, they came down as four, and this was in 1 hour. So the Chazal tell us, yes, this posuk is not in its proper place. And Rashi brings it. This really goes back to Rashi says, Kfar kedem ha'in in shulmalo, kedem shuchotav indidrat migan edin, v'chein ha'erim v'aledo. That the whole conception and the pregnancy and the birth, this was before they were chased out of Gadim. So it comes out that Cain and Hevel were born on the sixth day of creation, and while they were still in Gan Eden. How did Chazal know this, though? We know this from a posuk later on. In Shishi, Perkei, Posuk Aleph, it states, Zeh Sefer told this Odom, B'yayim bara lekim Odom, B'dmus lekim osay soy. This is the book of the generations of Odom on the day which he was created. So it's speaking about his generations already on the day that he was created. So from there we learn that he gave forth generations, the Eishayim, on that day that he was created. And Rashi brings this, Magid Shebiyayim Shenivra Holid. From here we learn that on the day that he was created, he gave birth. So in Gan Eden, it was a very, very easy process to give birth. It would happen immediately. But at any rate, Cain and Hevel were born in Gan Eden. They actually, when Adam was created, and so also Chava, so they were created full grown. But Cain and Hevel, we could learn, were born as normal people. The birth took place immediately, but they were born as normal people, and then they grew up. This whole episode now that's going to take place between Cain and Hevel, the sacrifices, the korbanos that they bring, the work that they do, their machlekes and so forth and so on, this happened much later. This happened after they were driven out of Gan Eden already. Now, Chava said, Vateled es Kain, Vateme Kanisi Ish es Hashem. She called him Kain. Why did she call him Kain? Kain comes from the word kinyon, to acquire. And she says that I have acquired a man. So she called him Kain. The Targum says Gavra. She was full of surprise and enthusiasm that I have acquired a man. And then she says Es Hashem. What does it mean? And God. So the Targum Rashi brings in the Medrash Im Hashem, together with God. Now Rashi brings the Gemara Nido that states that Kishibora Esives Ishi Levade Boron. When I was created and my husband was created, we were created alone. But now, with the birth of Cain, we are partners with Hashem. The Medrash elaborates a little more. The Medrash says as follows. Cain was the first to be created through three partners. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, man, he created in himself and from the earth. So only Hashem had a hand in that. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava, he created Chava from the rib of man, and also only HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a hand in that. But here, all three of us have had a hand. Adam, Chava, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the Gimel Shutfin that the Gemara always refers to, that there are three partners in the creation of man. And the Medrash goes on to tell us that this was the ultimate in the Tzelem Elokim, in the image of Hashem. And this is why she called him Konisi Ish. Ish has a Yud in it, and Isha has a Hey in it. And this represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud and the Hey. And together, Ish and Isha, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, create man, and now he has the total Tzelem Elokim, the image of Hashem. The image of Hashem is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but only together with a perfectly physical entity. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates him himself, the force came only from him. There were no physical forces involved in the creation of man. If the creation of man is only through the work of Adam or Chava, so then it's just a physical man. Here we have the perfection of the Tzelem Elokim. Man's physical force, the woman's physical force, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spiritual force. And then we have Ish, the Tzelem Elokim. So this is what she meant when she said, Vatomer Konisi Ish Es Hashem Im Hashem, that now I have acquired a man, I have created a man together with Hashem. Vatosef Loledes, and now she gave birth again, Es Ochiv Es Havel, to his brother Hevel. The Chazal bring that if you look in these psukim, you'll see Gimel Esim, three times is mentioned the word Es. Vatelad Es Kain, Vatosef Laledes Es Ochiv, Es Havel. Gimel Esim. And the Rashi brings from the Chazal, the Gemara, and the Medrash. Each one comes, S is a ribui, each one comes to add something. Cain was born with a twin sister. So it was not only Cain, it was Cain and his twin sister. Hevel was born with two twin sisters. That's why it states two Esin. We're going to have a question now, because it states that at that particular hour that we quoted, it says, Ola lemito shnayim v'yodu arba. They went up to the bed as two and they came down four. According to this, it should be seven. So the Medrash Rabbah's Girso text says seven. They went up as two and they came down as seven. But Arbabli in Sanhedrin says they went up as two and they came down as four. So this is a whole discussion. Taisus wants to say that actually, in the beginning, only Cain was born, because Hevel, we see, was born later. Vatosef, it says, later. So we're referring to Cain and his twin sister. So therefore, they came down as four. I don't know, but I would, if Hevel was born later, if he was still born in that hour, doesn't seem he was born in that hour. So when was he born? Was he born outside of Gan Eden, according to Taisus? I'm not sure. Other Rishonim learn, now, even Arbabli agrees that they came as seven. But the Torah is only referring to, the Gemara is only referring to those that the Torah explicitly mentions. So it only explicitly mentions Cain and Hevel. So they went up as four, Adam two, Adam and Chava, and they came down as four, and that was together with Cain and Hevel. But we we take for granted, we understand that also the twins came along. Now, why were they born with twin sisters? The Chazal tell us that this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan on how they will multiply. Because if they only had two sons, Adam and Chava, so then how would they multiply? So therefore they had sons and daughters, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them permission that they could live together in order that the world should grow. States chesed osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu im olam. This was a chesed, and that's why it was called Olam Chesed Yibameh. Now, Adam, Harishon, Adam and Chava, how many children did they ultimately have? They actually had many. But three are mentioned by name. Cain, Hevel, and then later on Shes. But they had many. Because later on in Perekei Posuk Dalet, it states, after it says he gave birth to Shes, Vayoled Bonim Uvonis, they gave birth to further sons and daughters. So they have many, many children. But three the Torah speaks about explicitly, and that was Cain Behevel and Shes. Shes is not born yet. And now the Torah is going to speak about Cain Behevel. Now there's an important distinction between Cain Behevel and Shes. Because Hevel is going to die without children. Cain will have children, but there's going to be a curse on his children where his generations will not continue. So if Adam and Chava had just Cain and Hevel, that would be the end of the world. Shes is the one that continued the generations of the world, plus the other children that he'll have later. But basically the Torah is concerned about Shes, because from Shes is going to come the 10 generations from Adam to Noah, and continue the 10 generations from Noah to Avraham Avinu. But from Cain to Hevel nothing is going to come. Now first the Torah starts to tell us the story of Cain to Hevel. It states, Vatosev laledes esochi veshovel, vayi Hevel reit sain, vekain hoya eved adoma. Hevel was a shepherd, and Cain was a farmer. Rashi tells us that Hevel chose to be a shepherd because it was too difficult to be a farmer, because the earth was cursed. So therefore he moved over to another profession, and that was the profession of raising sheep. Now, after the days went on, Vayovei Cain Mipri Hadoma Mincha Lashem. Cain, who was a farmer, he decided to bring a sacrifice to Hashem. In the earliest days, people wanted to show gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the way they did this, he would bring a gift to Hashem. So he brought a gift. Vehevel hevi gam hu mibacheres seinai umechel behem. Hevel also did this. And he brought from his Becheres, his firstborn, he was the shepherd, Umechel Behen, and from Chel Behen always refers to the best, the fat, the best. Vayisha Hashem es Hevel ve'el min chosai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the gift of Hevel, ve'el Kain ve'el min chosai leisho, but the gift of Kain he did not accept. Now firstly, how do we know he accepted or not? The Medrash brings because a fire came down and consumed the sacrifice of Hevel. So this, we know it was accepted. But with the sacrifice of Cain, no fire came down. Now the question is, why? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept one and not the other? What was the difference between the two? So the Chazal HaMadaik, they learn from here. Notice that by Cain, it says merely Mipri HaAdoma. He brought from the fruits of the land. And also it says Mipri. That means from some of them, not all of them, from some of them. While by Hevel it states Mibacheres, Bechores are the firstborn. The firstborn are always the most choshu, the most noble. And Umichel Behan, and from the fat, and the best. So from here our sages learned that Hevel was very, very careful to bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu his very best. But Cain, he didn't care. Not only that, but the Medrash says he brought from the worst. He kept the best for himself, and he brought the worst to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayove Cain mipri adoma mincha la'ashem min apseilus. Moshel le'oris, a parable to a oris is a person who works on your farm, and you give him a share of the crops. Oris ra, an evil oris. And he was an oris for the king. She'echel es ha'bechores, he would take the bechores, he would take the firstborn, he would take the best for himself. U'mechaber le'melech es ha'sayufas, and he would bring the very end of the fruits. These are the ones that are not good, the psalis, to the king. Now, could there be a greater disgrace, especially when it's the king's land to begin with? And this is what Cain did. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted that of Hevel and rejected that of Cain. From here, we have a Musar Haskel, a Teichecha Mogula. From here the Torah teaches us something. That in this world we are like a sharecropper, and the owner of the farm, the owner of the ranch, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we work for him. We're deserving of our share, but so is he. So therefore, when we bring him something, we, heaven forbid, we must not bring him from the worst, and we must not bring him from even the average. We must bring them for the very best. And if not, it's a great insult. And this is what the Torah teaches us. Zekeli vadvehu. This is my God, and I shall beautify him. So the Gemara brings in Sechta Shabbos. Anvehu b'mitzvahs. That when you do a mitzvah, you must beautify the mitzvah where it's the best. For example, it states that if you write a Sefer Torah, so you should buy the best parchment, you should buy the best ink, the Sefer should make the most beautiful writing. In other words, physically, even though it's a spiritual object, physically it must be garbed in the most, in the greatest beauty. When you buy a lulav, an esrog, even though there it states in order it must be beautiful, but you should go to the extent to make it as beautiful as you can afford. When you, a talis can be any type of garment, but if it's a talis shel mitzvah, it says you should make it beautiful. Ze keli bianrehu. And certainly when we bring something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for example, the same thing, you bring something to give to a shul, or you bring something to give to a Beis HaMedrash, it must be the nicest. You bring a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected all of the sacrifices that of animals that had blemishes, that had injuries in them. Because HaKrevu Na'al L'Pachatecho, when you bring something to the king, It has to be perfect. It has to be beautiful. This actually, Hanukkah is coming just around the corner. And this is a great principle in Hanukkah, which perhaps we might be speaking on. That's what the Gemara tells us about Mahadrin, Hidur Mitzvah by Hanukkah. So this is what we learn from there. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected it. He won't accept it. Now the Torah tells us, Vayicha l'Kain v'od, Vayip l'ponav. And Cain was very, very angry over this. Vayom HaShem el Cain. And HaShem said to Cain, He said, Lama chorloch, lama nofto panecho. Why are you so angry and why are you so upset? Halayim teitiv seis, vimlei teitiv lepesa chatus reivets. If you do good, then it'll be good for you. It's up to you. You have free choice. If you do not do good, then your averus, your sins, will be waiting for you. Yileyem dino chatas notia. That it will be waiting for the Yom Hadin, for the Day of Judgment. And the osid lispara minoch, the Targum says. And I will come to take repayment from you. Im leisosuv, if you will not do tshuva. Im sosuv, yishtabik loch. And if you do tshuva, it'll be good. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying that you have no one to blame except yourself. And the Yetzirah, Ve'ilecha tshukose v'atotim shalbay. The Yetzirah always comes to the person and tries to overcome him. Right? He'll tell you, don't bring the best, bring the worst. V'atotim shalbay, but you were given the power to rule over the Yetzirah, not that he should rule over you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuked him. Then Cain, though, was still very, very angry, and he was very jealous to his brother, and he decided he's going to kill him. Vayomer Cain al hevel ochi, vayhi b'yesem basode, vayokom Cain al hevel ochi vayhargehu. So when they were in the field, Cain provoked an argument with his brother, and then he killed him. As I mentioned just a few minutes ago, man does not have a very good history. We see that Adam HaRishon and Chava were commanded in a one mitzvah, and within 1 hour they desecrated it. So they were chased out of Gan Eden. Now we see that there were two sons in the world, the whole world, there was two sons. And now one is a shefik dam, one becomes a murderer over the other. And we'll see further. This is why it states HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not have Nachas at all. Did not have joy from his world until Avraham Avinu came into the world. See? Until then he had very, very little joy. Yet some, but very little. Vayemer Hashem el Cain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Cain. Hey Hevel Ochicha, where is Hevel your brother? Here the Chazal asked, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask him for? Hashem knew. He wanted to give him a chance to do tshuva. Perhaps he will admit his guilt and show his sorrow and so forth. Instead, Vayomer Leyadati, he says, I don't know. Hashemer Ochi Onechi, am I my brother's guardian? So here now the Chazal tell us, not only he didn't do tshuva, but he was Geinev Das for Eljena. He was a gain of das. In other words, he was a swindler and a person of deceit. And who was he trying to deceive? He was trying to deceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So this shows you the riches in him, the evil in him. Vayema me'osiso kol d'me'ochicho tzo'aki me'lai min ha'adoma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know where he is. What did you do to him? I know. Because the blood of your brother cries up to me from the earth. It states the May, which is Loshen Rabim, plural. That means that all of the generations that were to come from Hevel are crying up also. But because you killed Hevel, when you kill a person, heaven forbid, you don't only kill him. You kill all of the potential generations that he encompasses in himself. And that's why it states called the Mei Ochicha, all of the bloods of your brother are crying to me from the earth. Ba'ato, oru oto min adom asher potzos es pio lakaches de Mei Ochicha biyodecho. You will be cursed. You will be cursed from the earth. Rashi says, "Yeisem mimashin iskal ikvar baveino." Began bezuah hisifalachte. I've already cursed the earth, but now because of you, the earth will be cursed even more. And later on, it states, Rashi brings a little later. He says, "Kol mokam shoholach." It says that he is going to be exiled to Eretz Nod. Now, what does it mean, that word Nod? That means to move. So Rashi says, "Kol mokam shoholach hayisoha Eretz mizdazdeas tachtov." Wherever he would go, the earth would tremble, the earth would shake. It would be like an earthquake. Ba'abriyas aimrim sura me'olav zeu shoharages echov ochiv. Go away from here, because he's the one who killed his brother. Now, kisavedes adoma leisesiv teis kechol loch no venot yev oritz. He says that the earth will be cursed, and you will be exiled from the earth. You will be exiled from one place to the other. Metaltal v'goli teva aro. Bayomer Kain el Hashem godla veini mitzaya. So Kain said to Hashem, certainly you can shoulder my hate. Hein gerashti esia osi hayom mi'al penei adomo miponecha es oser. Bo yisi no v'nod ba'oretz v'yekol meitzi yahageini. He says, you have now exiled me from the entire world. You've chased me out from the earth. And I will have to hide from you. And wherever I go, whoever finds me will kill me. So Rashi brings two Beirushim. Maybe he was afraid people would kill him because he was known now as a murderer. We would have to say the later generations would kill him. But another Pirush Rashi brings is he wasn't afraid of people because at that time there were no other people. There was just Adam and Chava. And there were just Cain, he killed Hevel, and there were the twin sisters. So who's going to kill him? His father and mother or not? So what was he afraid of? He was afraid of the animals would kill him. Now why all of a sudden would the animals kill him? So this is what we said before. Nimshal kebehemus nidmu. That when a person sinks from the level of man, then the animals will be able to rule over him. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, so he said, Vayim alekim nasa odem betzalmenu kidmusenu. Hashem said that I have made you in our image. Biyud b'digasa yoma v'ayif ha-shamayim. And you will rule over the entire world. You see, the Tzelem Elokim, the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rules over the entire world. You rule over the fish at the depths of the sea, and the birds at the heights of the heaven, u'babehema, and of all of the animals, v'chol oretz v'chol remes haremes al oretz. So when man is at the level that he is supposed to be, then all of the animals have fear for him. But once you sink, then they no longer have fear. And Cain understood that. So he said, now, what am I supposed to do? I have to go into exile, and any animal that will see me will kill me. Vayema lei Hashem lachein kol heire Cain. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now this is a pasuk which has a stop. Lachain kol herikain, this was an exclamation. Therefore, whoever will kill Kain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will revenge it. So in other words, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave an order that nobody is allowed to kill Kain. Otherwise, he would have been killed immediately. Then he says, Shivasayim Yukom, revenge will be take place so in 7 generations. L'shavo dori nispara minei. In 7 generations, then the revenge will take place. Ba'yosem Hashem l'kain os levilti hakei seisei kol metzai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a mark on his forehead in order that whoever will see him will know that he's not allowed to kill him. 7 generations, then the revenge will take place. From here we see, contrary to popular belief, that when someone kills someone, that blood has to be revenged. It has to be revenged. And the most HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to do for him is that he will postpone that revenge. But ultimately, it must be revenged. And that's why the Torah tells us consistently that Shofech Domei, Domei Shofech. Someone is a murderer and he spilled blood, his blood must be spilled. And it states, Lo Yechupar HaOretz. The land will not be atoned until done so. And that's why we have so many tefillahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to take revenge from all of those enemies of Israel that have spilled so much blood. There's no such thing, the Torah tells us, where someone can come along and say, I forgive you for killing my brother, I forgive you for killing my son, or whatever it might be, because that's not given over to the person. You have to deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that. Now, Vayetze Kain Melifnei Hashem, Vayeshev Beretz Nod, Kidmas Eden. So Kain left from before Hashem, and he dwelled in this land of Nod, which was to the east of Eden. Vayeda Kain Es Ishtai, he took his wife, this would be one of his twin sisters, Vatar Vateled Es Chanoch. And she conceived and she gave birth to Chanoch. And then he built a city and he named it after his son Chanoch. And then Chanoch gave birth to Irod, Irod to Michuel, Michuel to Misushoel, Misushoel to Lemach. Now, we have we have 6 generations now. Kain, Chanoch, Irod, Michuel, Misushoel, and Lemach. So from Kain there were 6 generations to Lemach. If we count from Adam Arishon, so Lemach was the 7th generation. Now the Torah tells us a story about Lemach. And then it comes back to Kain. Vayikach le'lemach shtei noshim. Lemach took 2 wives. Shema achas Oda v'shema sheni Silo. One was Oda and one was Silo. The question is, why did he take 2 wives? So Rashi brings from Chazal, again the generations were very, they were sinking. And they were not good generations. Why did they take 2 wives? It says, because by that time, now there were more people in the world at that time. This is 7 generations later. Because at that time they decided that 2 wives are good. 1 wife, Rashi tells us, Kacho yedarkim shildor amabl, achas lepir evya. 1 wife they took, and she would be set aside to produce children, and another wife was taken, and she would be set aside for beauty. The one that was set aside for beauty, they didn't want her to become pregnant, because if she becomes pregnant, then she won't be so beautiful. So they would give her to drink acacial ikrin. In those days, the Gemara speaks about it also. In those days, they knew of a drug that they could make from plants, and you would drink it, and it would make a woman barren. And that was called acacial ikrin. So they would give this to the one who was used for beauty. She would drink it, and that way she would never fall pregnant. And this one, they would keep mikushetes kekala. They would keep her ornamented and as beautiful as a kala. And they would feed her the best nutritious food and the best nutritious drink. The other one, chavata nezuva v'avela kalmona. The other one, they kept her like a forsaken widow. They didn't care at all about her beauty. They didn't take care of her especially. And she was used just to produce children. So this is why they would take two wives. So that's what Lemech did. One was Odor and one was Tzilo. Now Odor, that means the forsaken one. That was the one that was for peerage to produce. Tzilo, that comes from the word shade, tzel. She was always in the shade. She was taken care of. She was always in the shade of her husband. Okay. Now it says, Vateled Odo es Yovel. Odo gave birth to Yovel. Hu hayo avi yoshev oel mikne v'shem ochiv Yovel. According to the simple sense, Yovel was used to dwell in tents and deal with cattle, sheep and cattle. It says Avi, he was the father of that. Why? Because now the earth was becoming more populated, so those who had a lot of cattle, sheep and cattle, they couldn't stay in one place. So he was the one who started taking his herds to one place and then moving on to another place and then moving on to another place, so there should always be fresh grazing. So he was the one who started that, and that's why it states that he was Yeshiv Ohel, because he'd live in a tent and then move it to another place and move it to another place. This was the simple meaning. His brother was Yuval. What did Yuval do? He was Avi Kol Tefes Kinevo Ugov. He was a musician. See, already in those early days, they had musicians. And he made musical instruments, and he was Abi. He was a doyen of the industry, see, a creator of the industry of musical instruments. This is the simple meaning. But the Midrash goes into it a little deeper, and Rashi brings it. And the Midrash says that actually what it means, that Yovel used to dwell in tents, it means that he would build different houses for Avodah Zarah, for idolatry. In other words, idolatry had started to come into the world. Actually, we'll see a little later that idolatry already came into the world even earlier. This was the seventh generation, but even earlier. So Yoshev Ohel Umikne actually means that he would build houses for idolatry. His brother, who was a musician, he had a music industry, but it was music and instruments for idolatry. So this was the yichus of these two sons. Then it states, "Vitzilo gam hi yoldo." Tzilo also gave birth. Actually, here is an observation. How did Tzilo give birth? She was the one that was supposed to have drunk the acacial ikrin, taken this drug that made her barren, but something went wrong. So Tzilo gam hi yoldo. So she also gave birth, and she gave birth to Tubal Cain. Now Tubal Cain, we see that evidently he was named after his great-great-great-grandfather. See, seven generations up, Cain. And he was called Tubal Cain. Later he's called Cheresh, Necheshes, Uvarsel. And he was in the steel industry, iron industry. He would make brass and copper and iron. That seems like a very good profession. Incidentally, those historians that say that the Stone Age lasted thousands of years before iron was invented, here we see that they had quite a bit of iron already, and this was just the seventh generation from the creation. This was the 10 generations lasted approximately 1,000 years, because Abraham came after 2,000 years, and that was after 20 generations. So here we see that they were already out of the so-called Stone Age. Now again, that's the simple sense, but also there are some underworld currents here. Why was he in the steel industry? So the Medrash tells us he would make weapons of war. He was in the steel industry, but like the nations of the world today are in the steel industry. He was making all types of iron weapons of war, and that's why he was called Tubal Cain. Tivel umnose shel Cain, loshen tavlin. Hiskin umnose shel Cain, lasis klizain lereitzkin. He followed in the footsteps of his great-great-grandfather. Just like Cain was the first Ratzeach, the first murderer, Tuval comes from the word tavlin, where he even added to that industry. He made murder a much more efficient and cleaner profession. So, this was Tubal Cain. Then, she gave birth to a daughter also. These are all the children of Lamech from his two wives. She gave birth to a daughter also, Tzila, Achais Tubal Cain, Naama. Now, Naama means, from the word, very pleasant. Naim, very pleasant. Who was Naama? Rashi tells us, Ishte shel Neach hoyso. She was to become the wife of Neach. This was the seventh generation, and Neach would be born in the tenth generation. So she was to become the wife of Noach. He cites this from Bereishis Rabbah. In the Medrash, in Bereishis Rabbah, two opinions are brought. Rashi citing the first opinion, that Rababa Bar Kahana, who says that this was the wife of Noach, and she was called Naama, because Mahaseha Ni'imim, because her deeds were so pleasant and beautiful. Now, it's very nice. The only thing is, she stands out here, because this was a whole lineage of Rishoim, of evil people, and all of a sudden you get such a tzaddik as a righteous woman here. But this is the opinion of Rababa Bar Kahana, and this is what Rashi cites, but I don't know why Rashi cites it, because there's another opinion in the Medrash Rabbah from the Rabbonim, see, which is the Das HaRabim, the majority opinion. And they said, no, this Naamos Acheres HaYisrael, there were two Naamos. The Naama that became the wife of Neach was another Naama. This Naama is another one. And she was a Rosha, she was wicked like the other brothers. And why was she called Naama? Because Mina Emes Beteif Lavedezora, she would play pleasant musical instruments for idolatry. So there we have a little background into the children of Lemach. Now, what happened? So, Rashi brings from the Medrash that an interesting story happens. Actually, there are two versions. But the interesting story takes place. Rashi says, Lemach became blind. And his son Tubal Cain, Lemach liked to hunt. And even when he came blind,
He couldn't give up that sport. So his son Tubal Cain, he used to take him into the woods and with his big bow and arrow, and he would tell his father, there's an animal now in this direction, shoot. So one day he was taking him and he saw something move in the bush, and he told his father, that way, shoot. And he did, and they found out that this was Cain, the great great grandfather, seven generations up. And when they came, he thought it was a chaya, an animal, and meanwhile it was his great 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 grandfather, and they found he killed him. When he was so upset that he killed his own great 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 grandfather, he took his hands and he clapped them together in a way of more of tsar, of anguish. And meanwhile his son Tubal Cain got his head caught between his hands and he died. So he killed both Cain, his great great grandfather, and Tubal Cain, his son, at the same time. Now the prophecy was fulfilled, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I will withhold my revenge from you for seven generations. This was the seventh generation. Now, we could calculate the seventh generation from Adam, because actually Lemach was only the sixth generation from Cain. So we could calculate it from Adam. This was the seventh generation of the world. Interestingly enough, the seventh generation from Cain, which was Tubal Cain, also got killed on that same day. But Rashi makes a different calculation. Rashi learns that the seventh generation will be, Lemach will be killed after he gives birth to the seventh generation. So, excuse me, after he gives birth, Cain will be killed after the seventh generation is born, you see. So not that the seventh generation will kill him, which was Lemach from Adam HaRishon, but after the seventh generation is born, then Cain will be killed. So Lemach gave birth to the seventh generation, which was Tubal Cain, from Cain, and then Cain was killed, and Tubal Cain seemed to be thrown into it also, so he was also killed. Now the next pasuk states, is Vayema Lemach Lenoshov. Lemach said to his wife, to his wives, Oda Vitzila, Shaman Keli Nishe Lemach, listen to my voice, wives of Lemach, Ahazenu Imrosi, pay attention to what I'm saying, Ki Ish Harakti Lepitzi Veyele Lechaburosi, did I kill a person intentionally? Did I kill the child intentionally? Ki Shivosayim Yukom Koin, even Cain that killed with a premeditation and intentionally, he was given seven generations till the penalty was given to him. So then how much more so I will be given many times seven generations. So what's going on here? So the Medrash says, this is one version, the Medrash says that his wives, when they saw what happened, they separated themselves from him. They said, we're not going to have anything to do with you. You're a double murderer. You killed your own Zayda, Cain, and you killed your own son. So they were perished. They won't have anything to do with him. So he's coming, and he's telling them, come back to me. Did I kill with intention? Am I a Ratzeach? Did I mean to kill? Even Cain that killed intentionally, he was given a stay, a penalty for seven generations. So how much more so I will be given many, many generations of a stay, a penalty. So he was trying to get his wives back. The next posuk states, it seems to be totally out of context here, Vayeda Odem Odes Ishtai, and man, Odom HaRishon, knew his wife, Od, again, Vatelet Bein, and she gave birth to a son, Vatikra Shmai Shais, and she called him Shais. Now,
What's this pasuk have to do right here? Immediately afterwards. So the Medrash says that his wife wouldn't listen to Lemach. Lemach couldn't get his wife back. So Lemach decided he'll take them to a Din Torah, take them to the Beis Din. So he took his two wives to Adam Arishon. And he told Adam Arishon what's happening. See? So Adam told the two wives, go back to Lemach. So the two wives told Adam Arishon, and they said, Kshayt atzmachot chila. You should first take care of yourself, rather than give us rebuke. Give yourself rebuke. Because after Cain killed Hevel, 1 minute, let me just find it here. No, yeah. Adam told the two wives they must go back. There was another problem also. That was one reason why they didn't want to go back to Lemach. But there was another reason also. There was this prophecy handed down from the generations, and this they saw now, that eventually all of the seed of Cain will be ended. There won't be anything coming from Cain. And now they saw Cain was killed, and they saw now Tubal Cain is killed. So they said, why should we go back to Lemach and have more children, only that they should be killed? This is all the seed of Cain. So Lemach took his wives to Adam, and Adam said, "Bechi aleichem ledaktek al gzeirosi shel mokem, atem asu mitzvaschem v'hu yaseh shelay." Is it your responsibility to be God? You have to do your mitzvah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do what he wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Peru revu," that people have to multiply on the earth, and he'll decide to do what he wants to do with the people. You can't play God and say that since people are going to die, I'm not going to have children. So that's what Adam told the wives. So they answered him, and they said, "Kshayt atz brotchilo," that first you should, that it literally means ornament yourself, make yourself beautiful first. "V'halei parashto mi'ishtecho zeh me'o ushleishim shono mishenikneso misal yotcho." Adam Arishon, after they were chased out of Gan Eden and death came to the world, Adam separated himself from his wife for 130 years with the same calculation, saying, why should I live with my wife and have children only to see them die? So they said, "Kshayt atzmecho tchila," why don't you take care of yourself first before you start rebuking us? So therefore Adam listened, and miyad vayeda Adam, and he listened and he went back to his wife. So that's why immediately afterwards it states, "Vayeda Adam od es ishtay vatelet bein vatikresh meishes," that Adam knew his wife, and she gave birth to Shes. Later on, it states that Adam was. It was 130 years when Adam gave birth to Shes, and these are the 130 years that we're referring to. It states also, "Vayeda od." More. He knew Od, again, more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to increase Adam's desires for his wife in order to make him go back. So this is what happened. Now, ultimately, this whole lineage ended. Hevel died before children. Cain himself was killed. Tubal Cain died. And evidently, the other descendants of Cain also died. So this ended. Now the Torah starts to tell us about Shesh. So it states, "Vatikra Shmai Shesh," she called him Shesh, "Kishos li alekim zera acher tachas hevel ki arogo koin." Shesh means to give. "Yaev li Hashem bar achron chalaf hevel the katlin koin." HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me now a son in place of hevel, because Cain killed him. Well, the Shesh gamhu yulad bein. Shesh also gave birth to a son. Vayikra shmei Emesh, and he, Shesh gave birth to Emesh. Osucha likra b'shem Hashem. Now, Shesh's first son was Enosh. Osucha likra b'shem Hashem. Then they started to call in the name of Hashem, but the word huchal is chulin. They started to desecrate the name of Hashem. You see, right here with Enosh, again, idolatry was coming into the world. The Rambam brings in the beginning of Hilchos Aveda Zorah, he says, "Bimei Enosh." Enosh was the son of Shesh. And this was only the third generation. There was a good number of years in, but this was only the third generation from Adam Arishon. There was Adam, and then, well, this is not it, this is the second generation, Adam, and then Cain, Vehevel, third, Shesh, and then Enosh. So this was only the third generation, although he was 100, it was 130. Now, it states, "Bimei Enosh, Tov b'nei Adam Tov Skodl." During the days of Enosh, the people of the world made a great error. "B'nivara atzis chachmei esedor v'enosh atzmei minatayim hoyo." And the leaders of the generation then, and the Enosh was one of them, they said like this: since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and it's such a mighty and wonderful world, and look at the sun and the stars and all of the planets that he created, it's proper for us to give honor to the sun and to the stars and to the planets and so forth, and the moon, because these are all his servants, and a king wants you that you should give honor to his servants. So they started to give honor. And he said, not that they forgot that there was a God in the world, but they would give honor to all of these other powers because they were the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he says, from there came the toast, the error of the world. Because ki orcha yomim, as days went on, so people forgot that we're serving the moon and the sun and the stars because they're the servants of Hashem. And they started to serve them in their own rights. And then they started to give them names. And then they started, certain false prophets would rise up and start to write books on how to serve these. Until as the generations went on, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was totally forgotten from the world. So here it's starting already, which was only the third generation by Adam, but there were further generations in the world already, because it was at the time of Lemach, which already was the sixth and the seventh generation. Now the Torah tells us further that it lists off all the generations between Shesh and all the way to Noah. Now let me just mention just three or four of them. There was Enosh, like we mentioned. Then there was Hanoch. Hanoch is mentioned in Posuk Yud Ches. Vayichi Yered Shtayim V'Shishim Shona Me'ah Shona Vayoled Es Hanoch. He gave birth to Hanoch. Hanoch was a tzaddik, as we'll see in a minute. Then it states in Posuk Chof Dalet. One minute. Yeah. Then in Chof Dalet it says, "Vayichi Hanoch." Chanoch gave birth to Metushelah. Metushelah also was a tzaddik. Now the Torah tells us, Vayisale Chanoch es Elokim, Chanoch walked with Hashem. Achrei alidu es Metushelah shleish me'ashona, and he lived another 300 years after he gave birth to Metushelah, and he gave birth to more sons and daughters. Vayikoli me'chanoch, and then it says what his whole life was. Vayisale Chanoch es Elokim, he walked with Hashem, ve'einenu. And then one day he was gone. Kiloka Chayshei Elokim, Hashem took him. He died a sudden death. But it wasn't a death of tragedy. It was a death of righteousness. Rashi tells us from the Bereshis Rabbah, Tzadikoyu. He was righteous, as it states that he walked with Hashem. But Kao, Bedaita Loshuv Lashia. But he lived in such a generation of Rishoyim, of evil, and he wasn't that strong of a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid that he would end up being like them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that. So therefore, the Fichach Mir HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Silkei, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu advanced the days of his death. V'Yimisu Kedem Zmanei V'Zehu Shoy HaKosev B'Misosei Lichtei V'Einenu Ba'Elem L'Mal Shneisov. He wasn't, he was no longer here. That means he was no longer here to fill out his days. This is what Shlomo HaMelech writes, that many times there's a chesed in a person's death, even a young death, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it for the good of that person. And this was the case here. So Chanoch was a righteous person, and then he gave birth to Metushelah. Metushelah also was a righteous person. Now, the Gemara says that Metushelah was a righteous person because they calculate that later on, when the flood was going to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu postponed it for 7 days because Metushelah had died, and he wanted to wait till the week of mourning for Metushelah was finished before he would bring the flood. So here he stopped the whole world flood because of the 7 days of mourning of Metushelah. So we see that he was a great tzaddik. Also, Metushelah lived longer than any other human being. Must have been a schus. So it states, Vayechi Metushelah sheva ushmeinim shono me'ash shono. Metushelah lived v'yoled es lamach. Now, one minute. Vayechi Metushelah achrei alidas l'mshtayim ushmeinim shono ushfa me'ash shono. Now, kol yimei teisha v'shishim shono. He was 969 years utsha me'ash shono. 969 years. Yeah, 969 years, this was the world record. And this was Metushelah. Then, Metushelah gave birth to Lemach. Now, this is a different Lemach. Some of these names are duplicated. I don't know exactly how they chose their names in those days, but some of the names are duplicated. There's a Lemach is duplicated, and there's another one that's duplicated also. I believe it was Chanoch. What? No. But no, there are duplicated. No, not in the same lineage from the sons of Shesh. See, there are some of the sons of Chase that have the same names as the sons of Cain. But one was Lemach, I think another was Chanoch. Yeah, Chanoch. Now this is different because the sons of Chase had Tzadikim, while the sons of Cain were not. So we must not get them mixed up. Now this was another Lemach. Now Lemach was the son of Metushelah, so he had a father, a great Tzadik. And he was the father of Noach. So he had a son, a great tzaddik. It would be very logical to say that Lemach must have also been a great tzaddik. He was born from a tzaddik and he gave birth to a tzaddik. But when the Rambam, we'll see in a minute, lists the few that knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu in those days, he doesn't mention Lemach. See, so which is somewhat of a wonder. At any rate, then it states that Lemach came into the world and he gave birth, and it's by him, it doesn't say, by all the others it states that they gave birth all the others it states Vayolded es Chanoch, he gave birth to so and so. By Noach it states Vayolded Bain, Lemach gave birth to Bain, a son. Then Vayikresh May Noach, he called him Noach. Why? Bain comes from the word binyan, to build. When he gave birth to Noach, Noach was the builder. He was going to rebuild the entire world, because the entire world would be destroyed and Noach would rebuild it. Then Vayikra Eshmei Neach, they called him Noach. Lemor Zeyin Achameinu Mimaseinu Umeitzven Yodeinu Min Adom Asher Eiraru Hashem. They said that this son will give us rest from all of our affliction and from all of our great problems, since the world was cursed. Rashi explains that Noach would bring comfort to the world, but the name Noach does not mean comfort, otherwise they should have named him Menachem. Noach means Noch, Menucha, to rest, because when Noach was born, the curse eased up. Two things happened. When Noach was born, all of a sudden the curse eased up and the land started to give forth better fruit, not like the curse that they would plant one thing and something else would come out and it would be all kind of thorns and thistles and whatnot. All of a sudden Barucha came to the earth. A second great happening that took place is that Noach was an inventor, and he invented the plow. Before then they had very, very basic, simple tools. Noach was the Thomas Edison. He invented farm equipment, so he made it much easier for them. One said, why did the two things happen at the same time? Because Noach was an enormous spiritual force. I mean, just imagine, the world is destroyed, everybody on the world is destroyed, and Noach is the only one that was saved. He and his family, and the family was Bezchus Noach, and he rebuilds the whole world. The fact is that the whole world is called Bnei Noach, the sons of Noach, because the Schus of Adam Arishon, he ended. Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that he's doing away with the whole world. So anybody that's in the world is called Bnei Noach, they're from the sons of Noach. So he was an enormous spiritual force. When he came into the world, he had an influence in all spheres of the world. And there was a curse on the land that the land would be a difficult land. So not only did he influence the land spiritually, but even physically. Spiritually, that Brocha came to the land, and physically, that was revealed to him the inventions of the modern farm equipment. Actually, we see in our times, not everything for all, the whole history of the world is that, but especially since the industrial age, and then now in the high-tech age, we see enormous physical secrets being revealed to the world, which could ease the life of man. Man uses it for destruction. Well, that was the same thing here also. Steel was given to man as a brocha. See? But we have seen enormous revelations of the greatest secrets of the physical universe. Now, those people that brought it into the universe, this was an enormous chus. I mean, we sit here with electric lights. Imagine that if we would be here with candles. We want to get from one place to the other, we get in our car and we're there in 5 minutes. Imagine if we would have to walk miles and miles and miles the way they used to go. And this is because of these great secrets, physical secrets that have been revealed to man. And those individuals that brought it into the world, they had an enormous schus. So this was Nayach. Nayach, in his time, eased. That's why it was called Nayach, from rest. The world rested somewhat from its klola. And at the end of the parsha, at the very end of the parsha, it states, V'nayach motzo chein be'eini Hashem. Noach found grace in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was a tzaddik. And in the following parsha, it states that Ish tzaddik tomim hoye b'dei reisov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Noach that it says Eselakim Esalech Noach, and I have found you to be the tzaddik, the righteous man of the generation. So this was Nayach 10 generations after Odom. And this completes an entire era of the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu created man. He wanted the world to come from man, and his generations didn't work. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu aborted the creation. Then he started a second creation, and that was with Nayach. In the next parsha, Torah tells us the same thing. From the generations of Nayach, a world didn't come. So he was going to abort that also. And then 10 generations later came Abraham. That's what the Medrash tells us when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayhi Or, let there be light in the world. He was referring to two lights, the physical light and the spiritual light, Ze Avraham Avinu. Spiritual light that will carry the world will be 20 generations down the line. That will be Avraham Avinu. That was the only sustaining creation. And that's why it states also, Ele told the Shemaim va'oretz bihi borom. These are the generations of heaven and earth. Bihi borom osius, when he created them, osius Avraham. That's the letters of Avraham is spelled out in their name. Bishus Avraham. It was through the merit of Avraham that the world was created. That means it was sustained through Avraham and his children, Yitzchok and Yaakov and Israel. But with the others, it would have never been sustained. So this ends a whole era. I want to end with one final point, and that is in Perikei Posukei, it states the years of Adam Arishon. It says, "Vayhu kol yemei Adam asher chai." All of the days that Adam Arishon lived was Tishamei Aishona, 900 Ushleishim Shona, and 30 years by Yomos. He lived 930 years. There's a question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam and Chava, incidentally, doesn't say how long Chava lived. So this would be an interesting question. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam and Chava that Ki bayim achol chamimenu meis tamus. On the day that you will eat from the tree of knowledge, tevara, good and evil, you will die. We see that he lived a long time. He didn't die on that day. He lived 930 years. And they ate the first day, like we brought from the Gemara and Sanhedrin. So the Medrash says as follows, that chesed osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu imay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a chesed for him. And he said that instead of giving you one day of yours, I'll give you one day of mine. He gave him one day of Hashem. And by Hashem, one day is 1,000 years. So he gave him 1,000 years. Okay, good. But now there's a kasha from the other aspect. He only lived 930 years. He was supposed to live 1,000 years. So on that, the Medrash says, and the Chazal tell us, that when it states, Zer Sefer told this Odom, this is the book of the generations of man. Kodesh Baruch Hu brought a book which had written all of the generations of man to be. And he showed it to Adam HaRishon. And he says, these are your generations. So Adam HaRishon took the book and he studied it. He noticed down the line that a great soul was to be born, but would die almost immediately, just after very few hours. So he said, who is this? So he said, that's David. So he said, he's going to die so quickly. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is all that was allocated to him. So he asked Hashem, he says, is it possible to maton in this world? Can you give a gift? Hashem said, yeah. He says, give me 70 years of my life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took 70 years of Adam's life and gave it to that soul. That's why Adam HaRishon lived only 930 years and David lived 70 years. Now, with this, we can very well explain what's written at the beginning of Sefer Melachim. It states, Vamelach David Zokein Bo Bayomim. And David was old, he was well into his days, Vechaseu Bibugodim, and they covered him with all types of covers, Velo Yicham Loi, but he couldn't keep himself warm. So the Meforshim, the commentaries ask, why was he so old? He was only 70. You got people that are 80, 90, 100, 120. Moshe was 120. All right, he was old, but why so old? It's Zokein Bo Bayomim. Why was he so old? So they give different answers. According to what we said, we can give a good answer. In Shlema Melech writes in Kehelis that Yesh Meis, Harbe Meisum, there's many that die, Kodim Itom, before their times. People don't always die at their time, like we just saw from Hanoch. Doesn't always die at their time. They can die before their time. Sometimes they might be given extra years. Mora brings many cases where you can add years to your life. So someone who dies before his time doesn't have to be old. He just died. He could be in very, very strong and good health. But when someone lives out to his very last day, then there's no life left for him. David was 70, and he was only allocated 70 years. These were the 70 years from Adam HaRishon. So he was on his very, very last day, or last days. So there was no life left for him. This is why he was so old and weak. See, that would be what it means, David Zokein Bo Bayomim. Incidentally, the morale brings that we see that David was almost like a father to Klal Yisrael, like Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov. He says, where did he get that from? Because he had the lives of Adam HaRishon. Those days that he lived, this life was taken from the first man. So this is where he got that from. Incidentally, the Rambam brings now, also at the end of Halacha Beis, he says, as the days went on, they had totally forgotten that there was a Tzur Elomim in the world, that there was a creator of the world. There wasn't a man left that knew that God had created the world. Only certain individuals. See, lists of your Chanoch, we mentioned him. Misushelech, we mentioned him. Noach, mentioned him. And then Noach had a righteous son, Shem. And then Shem had a righteous grandson, Aver. See, these are the ones he mentioned. We asked before that he didn't mention Lemach, the son of Misushelech, and the father of Noach. And then he says, and this pattern the world carried on, until the pillar of the world was born, and that was Avraham Avinu. So this concludes our series at this time on Parshas Bereishis, gives us many, many insights into this Parsha, the early days of the creation of the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.